The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
So very great to have you along with us on another edition of Afternoons with Mike. Last week I was at the NRB. Let's get to those interviews.
With a guy that I've so enjoyed getting to know over the past couple of years. Alex McFarland is an apologist. You've traveled around at all these universities talking about apologetics, giving people, I think, the real strength, and hopefully they've picked up on your courage, because it takes courage today to live on one of those university campuses. It's really not an easy thing.
You know, what's interesting is, look, there have always been believers and unbelievers, and there have always been people that were atheists and things like that. It's not scary, really, to dialogue with atheists. I've done, I don't know how many debates, open forum Q&A. Mike, I do believe the evidence for Christianity is compelling. The fact that God exists, the fact that the Bible is the Word of God, true, completely infallible, the fact that Jesus Christ historically lived, rose from the dead. I mean, these things are very credible.
Yeah.
And we believe by faith, and that faith is validated, corroborated, I would say proven by evidence. So it's not really scary necessarily to dialogue with unbelievers. I will tell you what's different about the climate in which we live, though. There is among unbelief a certain militancy, and our government sadly doesn't always stand up for the constitutional rights of Christians.
How true that is.
You know, Riley Gaines. A lot of people don't realize she was at a university on the West Coast, and people protested because she has spoken against transgenderism and men competing in women's sports. In San Francisco, she was actually forcibly abducted, and she was not allowed to speak, and she was held against her will. And the San Francisco police in this particular university are not pressing charges against the people that not only obstructed her rights, but, I mean, last time I checked, it's against the law to kidnap somebody and hold them against their will.
And they're just giving them a hall pass for that.
Yeah. Why? Because she has embraced what is an unpopular position, which is truth. Gender is not fluid. Men cannot become females. Now, we're in a time, and this is where Christians need to pray and need to be very courageous and bold. We're living in a time of viewpoint discrimination,
yeah,
which is another word for censorship. We're living in a time when the left, that prides themselves on tolerance, is being selectively tolerant. Now, I would remind people that selective tolerance is intolerant.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we Christians, on paper, we still have rights, but those rights are not being consistently upheld by those in position of authority.
That's right. And we wonder now, as citizens of this great country, the government has always had as its one of its chief goals is to protect its citizens. So when you have a scenario like what's happened with Riley, and she's effectively kidnapped, and she was, and there was news about that even in the paper this morning, this is a very concerning time when we wonder what is going to happen with the rule of law. And what do you see happening on that very thing? What thoughts do you have leading into this year of a presidential election? What do you think is going to happen with all this?
Mike, great question, and I want to appreciate you and the Shepherd Radio. I mean, you're doing a great work, and I appreciate you being willing to address what are some very important topics like this. I'm going to throw a quote out here by a colonial figure, Edmund Burke, who was part of the colonial era, but he said this, and I quote, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Hmm.
And so what's the context in which we find ourselves nowadays? We're at a point where every American, whether you're a Christian or not, I mean, I hope you're a Christian, I hope you've put your faith in Christ, but every citizen has a vested interest in standing up for truth and helping preserve our Judeo-Christian representative republic. Our country, and by the way, I teach political science. One of the things I do, I have to teach to support my preaching habit. among the topics that I've taught at the college and post-grad level has been political science and the philosophical foundations of our country. Our country, we're not a monarchy.
Right.
We're not an oligarchy. We are most certainly not a democracy. Folks, the left incessantly says our democracy is
at risk.
On January 6, 2020, democracy was never threatened because we are not a democracy. We are a
republic.
Republic. But specifically, we are a Judeo-Christian natural law representative republic. And so even if somebody listening is an atheist, you don't believe in God, okay, fair enough. Nevertheless, it is in your best interest that we retain our Constitution based on the Ten Commandments. Because, see, a Judeo-Christian moral foundation, it's like gravity. You benefit from it whether you understand it or believe in it or not.
That's right.
Yeah. And so the idea of human rights, the idea of natural rights, that you are endowed by Almighty God with the right to life, liberty, self-determination, you have a vested interest in preserving that even if you're not a born-again believer. And so what do we have to do? We need to stay informed. We need to vote. I've written 20 books, Mike. Specifically, one is called The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late. Another book, if you really want to understand our government and American exceptionalism and what made America unique and what has made America great, I wrote a book called 10 Issues That Divide Christians. There are more than 200 footnotes in the book that defend what everything I'm saying and more. And so we've got to, if you're a Christian, pray for our nation, influence others. But everybody, folks, vote, be informed, and vote. And if God will help us, we must preserve our Constitution.
Yes.
So that until Christ does return, we can continue to have a free, safe, prosperous America.
You know, that's really a compelling argument, and I love that whole thought that it's in their best interest to continue to appreciate, if nothing else, because people who are claiming to be atheists are still living under the good of what this has brought about in America. You know, we think in theology, we talk about common grace. I mean, there is common grace for us all. Whether or not you believe in God, He still is the one that created and keeps us from spinning off this earth into the universe, you know, going out there. So it is really sometimes mind-boggling for me to try to understand and get into the mind of an atheist. I went out with one for breakfast one time at his invitation. He had watched my kids. He was a neighbor, lived a couple of doors down, had some interactions with my kids, and he thought, I want to find out how you did what you did, because he had small kids, and mine were teens or even 20s, and so he was nice enough to give me a shot. Alex, he said something I've never forgotten. When I was talking to him about salvation, he said, I believe that if there is a God, here's how we set it up, that if I'm there before Him, I will have a compelling reason why He would let me into heaven. And that was his whole point.
Really?
He thought he could talk his way in.
Isn't that something? And did he say what the compelling reason might be?
Well, because on the basis of the good things that he's done, that he thinks are good things in his life, because of the way he has lived and trying to honor other people, all of those in his mind were compelling reasons that would be good enough to grant him entrance into heaven.
You know, actually, the Word of God addresses that in Matthew 7, 21 through 24. Matthew 7, 21 through 24. Jesus talked about the judgment day, and he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we did many wonderful works. We testified in your name. We cast out demons. And Jesus says, I'm sorry, I never knew you. You know, I've got a very dear friend named Dr. Gary Habermas, a PhD from Michigan State, literally one of the world's preeminent Christian scholars. And I could expend all of our time telling you his accomplishments, but in terms of evidence for the Bible, ancient evidence for the life of Christ, Habermas is a scholar among scholars. But he has talked about the fact that Jesus is unique in this regard. He's the only religious figure in world history. A lot of unique things about Jesus: virgin birth, sinless life, rose from the dead. But Jesus said, what you do with me will determine where you spend eternity. Now there have been many of religious figures that said, you know, do this, don't do that, you know, try to do this meritorious, you know, do these, this punch list of things. But Jesus says something different. To go to heaven, you must have a relationship with him. John 8:24 says this, if you do not believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And so to your atheist neighbor or anyone who says, you know, here's what I'm going to do. If I die and it turns out there's a God, here's what I'm going to say. Look, you're lost, friend.
That's right. And I
don't say that judgmentally. I'm saying this out of love and compassion.
That's right.
And even Jesus wants everybody to be ready. And Jesus says to go to heaven, to be prepared for eternity, to miss hell and be in heaven, you have to have a relationship with Christ. And fortunately, that's as close by as a prayer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I believe, Mike? And I've studied the Word of God. I've been a minister for a long time, and I've had my heroes like Billy Graham. Here's what I would say to everybody who hears this. Please believe me, and I could go for the next 24 hours validating what I'm about to say. To everybody listening, God Almighty loves you.
Yes, yes.
Whatever you've done, whatever sins, God loves you, and through Jesus Christ, he can forgive you. And also, I want to say, whatever has been done to you, life can hit us with some pretty hard knocks, granted.
Yeah.
But dear, the Lord Jesus can heal you. And whatever pain, whatever brokenness, Jesus can fix you. And in Joel 2:25, which is an Old Testament verse, God says, I restore the years the locust has eaten. God can give you a do-over.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, what's such a beautiful thing is, yes, God can save us and give us heaven after we die, but he can bless us, use us, heal us, beginning today, along the journey of life.
Yeah,
and that's why the Bible says that, you know, all that we have in Jesus is the blessed hope. I think the world needs that.
The world needs hope, and there is hope out there for it. We heard Philip DeCourcy last night, and he just brought such a wonderful message on that very topic, on the fact that from 1 Peter, we have a living hope. And it is cannot be taken away from us. It will not be taken away from us. And even though we go through this lifetime, maybe there are some problems that we have, and some people have had very extreme bits of suffering in their lives. But one person he told a story about was asked by a friend who was skeptical, and he said, is this fair that you're having to live your life the way you are? And he said, I trust God. And he says, well, why did God let this happen? He goes, well, I'm going to have eternity for God to make it up. I thought that was
Amen.
Good. The little problem that we're having right now is going to be a small thing in comparison to the blessing of life that we'll have in eternity.
You know, Psalm 16, verse 6, very fascinating verse. It says, "The boundary lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a godly heritage." The boundary lines of life, and I know probably sooner or later everybody is going to go through something and they're going to say, why? I wonder why this happened. You know, good family trying to do our best, and then X happened. Why? We don't always know why. C.S. Lewis, who's a brilliant Christian thinker of the 20th century, C.S. Lewis lived 1898 to 1963, and he became a Christian after many years of being an atheist. And Lewis was brilliant. He was a professor at Oxford University, really, really brilliant guy. But he said this, you know, God does everything possible to bring us to a point of coming to Christ. The one thing God doesn't do, he does not override our free will, free choice. Mm-hmm. Because to have a relationship, there legitimately has to be choice, consent. And God will offer himself. God will knock on the door of our heart. But we have to put our faith in Christ. And so back to Psalm 16:6, where you were born, God sovereignly chose that. We had no say in where we were born, when we were born, our height. Mike, if I would have been a stunt double for George Clooney, but I don't look that way.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know what? God, Lewis said it, I think it's true, that God orchestrates the details of our life so that we would have maximal opportunity to know the Lord, come to Christ. He doesn't override our free will. He can't, because that would, it wouldn't be the free gospel. It wouldn't be a relationship. But I just want to say to everybody out there, there are just some things about life that we're going to have to trust.
That's right.
That an infinite God knew what he was doing. And it's for our good and his glory.
And he didn't make a mistake.
He didn't. He can't make a mistake.
Yeah.
And so we trust God. And I would say this, and maybe someday I can share some of my own personal journey, but God, if you will trust God, who loves you supremely, I promise you, not only on the promises of Scripture, but on the testimony of faithful folk who have come before us, if you will trust God and say, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
All that you desire for yourself, every hope, every dream, God will bless you, God will help you, God will restore you. Please, today, put your life in his hands, and you will not be disappointed.
I believe it. Alex McFarland, thank you for once again being with me and talking about these things that are so critical. May God give hope, which is available to us all. May it become real in your heart, friends, as you're listening. And this is really an encouraging thing. Thank you, brother. Hope you have a great time here at the NRB.
And you as well, my friend. It's always a blessing, Mike.
All right. We'll be back in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian business people, visit cfchristianchamber.com or call 407-258-3570.
I have really looked forward to talking to my next guest. Dr. Harmoz Shariat is the founder of Iran Alive Ministries, which is a company that actually brings the gospel into the country that he was once a part of. And while it's not safe for him to go back, he's able to go back through the airwaves. And Dr. Harmoz, it is great to have you on my program.
Thank you so much, Mike, for allowing me to share what God is doing in that country.
Well, tell me, first of all, how did you come out and then get involved in broadcasting so that your words can go back in? How did all that happen?
Well, I came out of Iran. I was a Muslim. I went to Southern California for graduate studies in University of Southern California. That's where I got interested in spiritual things. And I said, I want to be a good Muslim. That was after the Iranian Revolution. But I said, I'm a researcher. Let me look into this. So I read Quran and I read Bible and I compared and I realized both could not be true. Before that, I thought, all religions are the same. Why do they fight?
Yeah, a lot of people still say that to this day. All right. Roads lead to heaven,
that's
right?
That's right. But when I compared them, I realized both cannot be true. Totally different. Many contradictions.
Yeah.
So after a few months of study, I came to conclusion that I don't know. I can't decide. So I went to a church. I heard the simple message of the gospel, which transformed my life. Powerful. Even a child can understand the gospel. So it healed my marriage and changed my life. That's when I said, it's selfish to keep this message to myself. I need to share that with others. Started sharing the gospel with others. Many Muslims came to Christ through me. Then I planted churches. Then right after September 11, we went on the air. We bought one hour of airtime from a secular channel. And from day one, my phone calls, salvations by thousands. And this is like 20-some years ago. Now we are over 100,000 registered salvations. And we use media to plant churches. It's not just a satellite television. We do a lot of things, train leaders and plant churches. So that's the story. Media is powerful because it cannot be stopped. We go over the heads of the mullahs every day into people's homes, and the government of Iran cannot stop the signal because it's coming from the sky.
Yeah, it's coming from the sky, and they're really, I'm sure they would like to control their residents from not receiving it, but they are still getting the word from you.
That's right. All they need is a cheap dish in the backyard and the roof, and they receive our signal for free. So we go there in the living rooms and look at their eyes and tell them Jesus loves you. And you know what? They have rejected Islam and they are very open to the message of the gospel. They're sick and tired of violence that Islam offers, and they are looking for God, whose love, whose forgives us, kindness. So that's the message of the gospel. That's why Iran has the fastest growing evangelical population in the world.
I don't say that. You took my words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was going to ask you about, because I have heard that stat.
Yeah.
And it is growing leaps and bounds in the face of the kind of opposition. And you know, that is just like God, isn't it? That he, when there's persecution, the church will grow, even in Iran.
Exactly. The impact it has, that people come to Christ knowing that they have to pay a price. So easy believism, no. They know what they found. When you come from darkness to light, you appreciate the light. So these Muslims who come to Christ, they're sold out because they could be killed and they don't care. They know they have found the truth. They know their lives have been transformed.
Yeah.
And some of them tell me this, sometimes they call our stations and we are more too careful. We say, hey, watch out. Are you calling from your home? You could be traced and all that. Many times they say, you're not afraid of them. Why are you thinking, what are you thinking about us? I'm not afraid of them. And one of them was saying, They are afraid of us. The government is afraid of us. That's why they want to put us in jail. Our message is so powerful, can transform nations. That's why there is persecution.
Absolutely. Now, you're called by a lot of people the Iranian Billy Graham. I've heard that about you. You have a heart that loves the gospel of Jesus. And you mentioned that you heard a single message and it transformed your life. How do you present that on your show to these Iranians? How are you finding them receiving that simple word that you receive?
Well, the gospel is simple. Even children can understand it. If we could make it complicated, we are wrong. We got to make it simple. And the more educated people are, you have to make simple. I have a PhD in AI, but when I present the gospel, I don't go complicated. I go simple. The simple is this. God loves you. He's perfect. You're not.
Yeah.
You cannot reach him because you can never be perfect. And because he loves you, he came after you. I mean, this is a simple message. If you love somebody and they cannot do something for themselves, of course you do something for them. So we couldn't save ourselves, so God sent Jesus to save us. That's very simple but logical.
Now, a lot of believers that I talk to, they don't have the kind of enthusiasm that you do, sir. And it's really a joyful thing for me to see someone that is not only doing what you're doing, but you believe what you believe about the gospel, the power of the gospel. I would love for more people in America to catch this from you.
Exactly. You know, that reminds me of Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. In the West, we're kind of ashamed of the gospel.
I think you're right.
That's why we don't see the power of it. There is power in the gospel. Have confidence in it. When you share the gospel, you don't have to be rude, but you have to be confident. This is the solution to personal problems, to marriage problems, to relational problems, to society problems. The gospel can heal everything. If you're confident, then it sounds like that. When I meet people, I say, first I look for bad news in their lives because good news is meaningful when there is bad news. But when I found the bad news, like a bad marriage, I'm confident Jesus can heal your marriage today if you want to. Not by force, but if you want, he will change your life. He will heal your marriage. He will your depression. He will set you free from your addiction. We have to be confident. Then Romans 1:16, when you are not ashamed, then you see the power. And I've seen the power, Mike. I've seen healings. I've seen freedom from addictions instantly. Mm. Of course, Jesus is helping us with visions and dreams.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned your own marriage was affected by your newfound faith. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. We were at the verge of divorce with my wife. Set a date. I remember it was October 1st. But in the summer, I was searching for the truth. I looking at Bible and the Quran, and we were not talking. She was staying late at work, and I was searching, and she heard the gospel at work. So when we both went to church and we came to Christ, our marriage didn't improve overnight, of course. So we wanted to follow through with our divorce. And then we went to our pastor, said, our marriage is not working. We had decided to get divorced even before we come to church or come to Christ. And our pastor said, really? Let me show you a verse. God hates divorce. I said, I haven't read that part yet. So do I have to have a miserable marriage for the rest of my life? But we said, let's give Jesus a chance. And it wasn't overnight, but over time, the Lord healed our marriage.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That is so encouraging. And again, one of the reasons why I love having people like you on, because people who are listening to us right now, just like the people in Iran, when they hear you, they have hope. They think, hey, this can work for me too. And maybe my marriage might be saved as well. But do you think that unbelief is at the root of all of these kinds of problems with people, why they don't believe the power of the gospel?
Definitely, yes. But why do they have unbelief? I think partially it's church hasn't been shining for Jesus. I think we have to shine in the darkness, and we have lost our saltiness maybe.
I've heard that a lot from a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so we haven't done the greatest job in America, and America has been so blessed in so many ways by God with freedoms, and yet these people, I remember the first time I went to a communist country and I expected to see people that were oppressed. And instead, I found people there that were joyful. They were trusting God in many ways more than I was. And I learned that it is not just the blessing and prosperity of your environment that makes the difference for you. It's, do you have the real deal gospel in your life? And that's what makes joy.
That's true. America is a great country. Sometimes I feel people like me from coming from other nations, we appreciate what's here. freedom.
Yeah.
And the joy. Americans are very joyful. There's depression all over the world. But we need to appreciate this. And people who are born here sometimes, they don't realize it's so miserable around the world.
And yeah, it really
is. Of course, America has problems. But compared to the rest of the world, this is a blessed nation.
Oh, no question about it. And it is your pulpit, if you will, over these airwaves that you're able then to take the message of the gospel. And I just want everyone, I want to have the joy that I see in your face and in your heart. It's inspiring to me, sir, and I really appreciate it. How can people learn more about your ministry?
Well, go to our website. That's iranalive.org and find us. There's many testimonies there. Sign up for our newsletter. I share one great testimony every month. And if the Lord leads you, come and partner with us. We're broadcasting. If you have programs to be aired in the Middle East, we can help you. And if the Lord leads you, support us financially. But this is time-limited opportunity.
That's right.
It's an open heaven in Iran. It's not going to last forever. If we work together, we can transform Iran with the power of the gospel. And once Iran is transformed, the whole Middle East and the world. Now, let me share the last thing. Iran will be a Christian nation. And people say, where did you take that? What are you talking about? I said, I stole that idea. Where did you steal it? I stole it from Jeremiah 49, 38.
I love it.
49, 38, the Lord promises he will set his throne in Iran. So we have the promise. Iran will be transformed by the gospel. We are the winner. So mark my word. Actually, don't mark my word. Mark your
his
Bible.
Word. Yeah.
Mark your Bible. Iran will be a Christian nation.
I love it. Dr. Harmoz Shariat, so great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Joel Noble from Samaritan Ministries is something that really, for us, was a lifesaver.
Well, I'm glad to be here. It's always great to be face-to-face.
Yes, it is. So tell me, what is happening with Samaritan in 2024 that might be different than what we've talked about before?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I do in my role with public policy is work on what we call safe harbor laws, which clarifies in insurance codes that we're not insurance, but in fact a ministry. And I am happy to announce, actually here in Tennessee, that probably in the next week, Governor Lee will be signing our 32nd safe harbor, clarifying in the Texas insurance code that we're not insurance. And then hopefully a couple weeks after that, we'll have West Virginia signed. So we'll add two more safe harbors. So that's pretty exciting.
That is exciting. Now, this whole thing about we're not insurance.
Absolutely.
That's still to a lot of people today. They don't really understand that. I mean, insurance, the concept of insurance has been around forever, it seems.
Yeah.
At least all of our lifetimes. But this concept of sharing is a refreshingly different and to a lot of people, still a new technique.
Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely an insurance-minded community, whether it be car insurance, home insurance, or even health insurance. But as you mentioned, health insurance is really a fairly new concept, came about during the Second World War. And before that, what we're doing at Samaritan, member to member, was really how folks took care of their health care needs, especially expensive ones. Communities came together and helped folks. Even before that, you go back to the Book of Acts with the early believers sharing with each other.
That's right. You know, in history, those of us that had actual government and history classes that told the early story of America, we know that barn raisings was an example of where a community would come together and help what would be for one person, if not impossible, close to it, of a task. And with healthcare rising up, I mean, you know, we all know that the Affordable Care Act is anything but affordable. That being the case, something like Samaritan really makes a difference for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now we're going through, my son had ACL reconstruction. He was an athlete, blew his knee out. He's got about $60,000 of medical needs that we're going through right now. And what's nice is I'm getting checks and PayPal and things like that, digital, you know, transfers from all of the United States, and just wonderful notes that, you know, I can share with him. And, you know, it It's great to experience that. And even his younger brother, who's now 17, when he was born, I got a onesie in the mail from a member, an outfit. And those type of things are really nice, and it just makes it all the much better than insurance.
Everyone who knows anything about insurance would know that there is this thing called the deductible.
Absolutely.
And then there's this thing called premium that you pay every month. Now, Samaritan has something that you do pay once a month, but it's not to the Samaritan company. It's to the people who are in some sort of need from a standpoint of health.
Absolutely. Yeah, we call it a share, and so each month we send it member to member. So I'm going to write a check, or I may go through some kind of, you know, digital platform, you know, like a PayPal or Venmo or something like that, and send it directly to the member. And when I've had needs, we get those checks in the mail, cash those checks, and pay our needs. And as you mentioned, you know, we have a what we call initial insurable in the insurance world that would be, you know, seen as a deductible. And we have two different programs. One's $400 initial insurable. One is $1,500,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, you know, I haven't looked at insurance in a long time, but I believe a lot lower than most insurance plans.
Give us the website for how people can go, because I know they can learn a lot just by dropping by your website.
So SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you go there, it's got a cost calculator. You can look at the two different programs. It's got the guidelines. And if you don't find what you're looking for there, there's a phone number. And I love our folks on the phone. I tell people all the time, they're there to explain Samaritan. They're not there to sell it. And so there's no incentive for them, you know, to get you to signed up. They just want you to fully understand it, because if you fully understand it, we think that you'll stay and be a longtime member.
It is always great, Joel, to see you. Thank you for dropping by.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Joel Noble from Samaritan Ministries, and we'll be right back.
Join host Mike Gilland for The Shepherd at Work every Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m. You will be introduced to a marketplace leader that will help you learn to walk out your faith wherever you live and work. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the Central Florida Christian Chamber, building kingdom, business, and community throughout our area. That's The Shepherd at Work, this Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m.
Debbie Wuthnow was with me just recently on my program, and back then we talked about something that she is president of. It's a division of the AFA, that's the American Family Association. They have an action committee that is basically putting out this iVoter guide. And boy, I tell you, we need all the help we can get sorting all of these issues out. iVoter guide is there for each and every one of us to use, and it gives us the kind of background information that we all need when it comes to making some of the biggest decisions in our lifetime. Debbie Wuthnow, great to see you again.
It's great to be here and to see your face.
Yeah, last time it was over the phone.
I love it.
And at the NRB, where we are, I'm sure this is a busy week for you here.
It is a bit, but it's great to meet people like you and other conservatives and kind of get the word out there about iVoter Guide, because it really is a tool every Christian needs to know about.
Well, in case anyone missed our last interview, tell me how you got involved with this idea. And I know you've been working for some time with AFA. But how is it that this all came about?
Well, iVoter Guide was not my idea. It really was a tapestry woven by God. There was an activist in Texas back in the 2006 that a legislator worked with was a lobbyist, worked with all the legislators, and he had this moment of revelation saying, I know these legislators, but I've never voted an intelligent ballot from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
And he started researching all the candidates in Dallas County, where he's from, and did it all on paper. He got their campaign finance data. He got their endorsements. If they'd held office and voted, he got their scorecards, sent them all surveys, put it in a 4-inch binder, and shared it with friends around a coffee table. And they all helped him rate every candidate. They assigned a grade. On a parallel thread in this tapestry was a retired IBM programmer who actually wrote Bible study software and had served on his local school board. And he had the idea from God, I believe, to create an online voter guide, but he didn't know how to evaluate candidates. And God really brought Richard and Jim together, and that was the birth of iVoter Guide.
Isn't that something, how one person can have one piece of that big puzzle and another all of the legs and the feet and the ability to get that word out, but he didn't have all the information. And you said something that really struck me, informed, being informed as a voter. And I think very few people, if we're all honest about it, just any given election wouldn't have to be the presidential election. But even for judges, school board candidates, things like that. Most people go into the polls and they really have not done the homework.
Well, what I used to do is I'd get all those flyers that come in the mail. It was like a deck of cards, and you'd spread them out and go, oh, they all say the same thing. How do I know which one's the best one? And it takes so much time and judgment. And that's what iVoterGuide does for you. We gather all the data, the actions on all of those candidates, so you can look at it. But then we also have this army of volunteers who rate every candidate, like Richard's friend around the coffee table, so that you can see on a gas gauge on our website, where do they stand from liberal to conservative, to really kind of guide you. But if you want to look at all the data, read it yourself, you can, because we transparently give you all the information, because it's not a list of who to vote for. It's a tool to help you vote wisely.
And that too is a big distinctive. I think, again, going back, a call for honesty, a lot of people really would prefer that somebody like yourself or someone that they trust just basically tell them how to vote. And that's not the right way either.
That's not being a good steward of that responsibility. Right. You can use that gauge and look for the candidate. For me, for biblical values, I look for the one who's going to conserve the Constitution. So that would be a more conservative candidate. And you can gaze the gauge. But, you know, sometimes, especially in the party primary, and I will tell you, that is the election where you can make the biggest difference. You need to vote in the primary.
That's right.
That's where it's harder to get information. And iVoterGuide will be covering the Florida primary when it's time in August. So before you thing that if you get it in the mail, before you do, check out iVoterGuide.com. But there might be candidates that are rated the same. But you can look at and read their answers to the survey. You can look at who gave them money. You can look at, you know, how did they vote on the life issue or whatever your most important issue is. And it's gathered all the information into one place to help make it easier.
It would appear that the two big hot button topics would be abortion and immigration, safety, you know, in the border, all of the things involved with that. These are big issues that really bear not only, I believe, impact and effect on us right now, but for decades and generations to come. So it is really important that each and every voter, number one, vote. And Debbie, isn't it sad the percentages of our voting population that never get out of their house?
Yeah.
Either early elections, and I'll just be honest with you, I'm a little wary of early elections. I think that is a real opportunity for some of the shenanigans that have gone on. And, you know, I'm not saying something that everyone doesn't know already. There were things that went on in the 2020 election that were a little shady.
And suspect, I would say.
Suspect,
yes.
That's even a nicer way to say it. But this time around, we've got to have our act together or we're going to see our country go farther down this rabbit hole.
Truly the bigger difference you can make. Everybody talks about president, right? And what's going to happen at the top of the ticket. That's one race. Granted, very important race. But it's just one of thousands of races on your ballot. And you talked about those percentages. Some percentages I've heard is that one in four Christians will vote in the general election. But in the primary election, it's one in 20.
Wow.
And that's really where 80 to 90% of legislators at Congress or in the state are chosen because districts favor one party over the other. So in November, that election's pretty much a foregone conclusion. So if you really want a choice, it's in that primary election. So your vote makes a huge difference. And I just urge you to vote and make your vote heard and be informed.
Now, I know that your company, this great service, iVoterGuide, covers things like the candidates that we all hear about. What about other issues going on, maybe with judges, things like that? Do you guys wade into those waters?
We cover, at this point, statewide judges, so the Supreme Court that you have in Florida. We will be evaluating any of those that are contested in the election, and we do it a little bit differently than legislators because we actually have lawyers and law students reading the rulings of these judges and evaluating them as are they maintaining the Constitution? Are they a textualist or an originalist or a constitutionalist, or are they activists?
That's next level to what a lot of people do. I know I had one person that was very involved in the whole structure of our politics in America, and he told me years ago that what you can do is see who nominated them, what either governor or if it's a federal, what president. And you would have a sense that if you agreed with that person's direction, but we've seen in America that that doesn't always work out.
Even at the Supreme Court level, you'll see Republican-nominated justices who do not who kind of, they shift, right? They get muddied in the D.C. waters. So that's why we have the lawyers reading the rulings to see what they've actually done.
Muddied in the D.C. waters. Debbie, you're coming up with a couple of memorable statements. I really think that's great. You're right. People get there, and whether it's influence, sadly, it could be money. Whether it's
money's big.
Money's big for those kinds of things. The lobbyists that are there are very willing, very generous. And then you also have this whole thing of pressure that I know these people who are in top public offices, they get it on all sides from every hour of the day.
Well, and that's why our research is not just what they say, it's what they've done. Because the best predictor of what they're going to do in the future is what they've done in the past.
Yeah.
And we look at campaign finance data to see who's buying influence or who have they supported as an individual. All of those things are very telling and factor big time into our ratings.
You know, I heard a pastor say years ago, Debbie, if we keep on doing what we're doing, we're going to have a whole lot more of what we already have. And I think that's a really great statement when it comes down to elections, when it comes down to politics, when it comes down to safety. And we are really at that level right now. We really don't know the millions of people that have come across that border this last 3 years. Yeah. We have no idea what their intentions
what we've invited in.
Are exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'm even hearing of new outbreaks of things like in Broward County, Florida, disease breaking out, measles for the first time in years.
Oh, my goodness.
And we know that a lot of the people that have come in across that border, they are coming from areas where they have not had the safeguards, they've not had the treatments that Americans have enjoyed. And this is like the wild, wild west again.
Yeah. Well, they're coming here because of the America that was, and they're changing the America that was into a different place. And this election is key. And we need to get the legal voters informed wisely to be electing people all across. And I will tell you one thing that's exciting for us is we're going to be translating the entire website into Spanish.
That's important in Florida.
Yes, it is.
You know, I had an Uber rider up to the NRB that spoke very, very little English. Mm-hmm. And at 5 a.m. in the morning, it's hard to hear anybody speak. But when there's this language barrier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know those great people that are here legally, and I'm sure there are some. I have no idea if the carrier that brought me is legal or not, but they certainly were not in long enough to learn the English language. Yeah. And so having that in Spanish is going to help our great population, the Hispanic population.
Especially
in
the Cuban Hispanics down in South Florida.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, we've learned as we're talking to that community, as we're getting ready to launch this, that you know, Florida and Texas, both half of them are Hispanic. And 20% of the new electorate is the young Hispanic. People are turning 18 and now legally can vote.
Yeah.
And that one third of the legal Spanish-speaking population that can vote don't read English.
Yeah.
So if all they is Telemundo and other, they're not getting the truth. Really.
And they're depending on our cell phones that do a lot of the translations for them. Yes. That's what they're doing. And they're getting by.
Yeah.
But it's sad. You know, when I was a young guy, when people came in from other countries, they worked hard to learn the English language. Mm-hmm. And that's just not pushed right now. Mm-hmm. And I know we have a lot of great Americans who are Spanish speaking and other languages as well. And that does not mean in and of itself that they're not great Americans.
Right, right.
But we all, and this is a great service you're doing. So that's something that will serve Florida very well. What, and I guess I could say it this way, what obstacles with technology have you guys bumped into that you could tell us about that's made maybe getting people ready for 2024 difficult?
Well, I will say that technologically, we launched a new website, a new look on the website, just less than 2 weeks ago. So trying to make it easier to use, just easier to access the information we've gathered, because half of the people use it on their cell phone. So we wanted to make the website very easy to use and usable from your mobile device, your tablet, because that's where people get their information now.
It's where they get their information. It's where they read their news.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time just a short time ago that email was the thing to do. And now texting is the thing to do. So I guess it's true for any company. If you don't stay up with that, you're falling
you gotta keep
three
up
steps
with the times.
Behind.
Well, especially as we try to reach the younger voters. That's where they're more so.
Yeah. So this website that you've just got redesigned, tell us what that is.
It is ivoterguide.com. I is an individualized or internet, voterguide.com.
Just the letter I.
Just the letter I.com. And you go there and you enter your voting address or your residential address, the one that you put on your registration form.
Mm-hmm, right.
And it will just show you the races and the candidates on your ballot with that gas gauge of how they're rated. And then if you want to see all the data that's behind that rating or what we used to create that rating, you want to find their websites, their social media links, click on the See Candidate Profile. You can see all the data for yourself.
This is such a great service that you've done, and I know that you mentioned the recent foray into Spanish. Are there other things that you have your eyes on maybe a year or two down the road?
Well, another thing we're doing this year is we're starting to cover more school board races. We watched what has been happening since 2020. And
boy, go to Virginia.
We have covered the Loudoun County school boards.
Oh, my goodness.
And we are covering quite a few in Florida. So we're looking at, some of the key swing districts and covering school boards in there. I think Miami-Dade is on our radar to cover some of those districts. And our team does a deep dive for the needle in the haystack about those school board candidates.
Because and you do this nationwide, right?
We don't cover school board nationwide.
No.
We do cover all the federal races in all 50 states. There are 42 states where we're covering the statewide races and 36 where we're covering the state legislative. And it's in a handful of states, just really the key districts where we can make a difference, where we go down ballot. Our vision in years to come is to more down ballot because that's really where we make the difference. Fewer votes flip a race. It impacts your family and your children.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
That's the direction we're heading.
I sure thank you for coming by. So nice to meet you face to face. Debbie Wethnell from iVoter Guide. And we hope that you can enjoy and benefit from this great website. That about does it for me today from Nashville at the NRB. I'll be back next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.